You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org. Non-commercial, community-powered radio. This is Musana's Musings. Stay tuned for I Love You, Minneapolis. Forget What I Said Yesterday. Have just heard Breaking My Heart, in parentheses, Pretty Brown Eyes by the one, the only Mint Condition, local legend, Black royalty. We celebrate you, we honor you this Juneteenth. Welcome, welcome, welcome to I Love You, Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. Again, I Love You, Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. This is your lovely host, Musana's Musings. And this is our first pre-recorded broadcast. We should clap. Obviously, I would love nothing more than to be here with you all this weekend, but it is Juneteenth weekend. It is also the Twin Cities Jazz Festival this weekend. I am Black. I am busy. My friends, my colleagues are Black. My family is Black. They are also busy. So with that in mind, you'll just have to catch us gallivanting around the Twin Cities, celebrating and uplifting our rich cultural heritage and history. To all of our listeners of Black American heritage around the city, around the state, around the nation, and globally, we are wishing you an easeful, a joyous, and a glorious Juneteenth celebration. So this is the second interview this month dedicated to Juneteenth. I have a lovely and amazing guest with me, an individual who I am honored and grateful to call a friend, a comrade, hopefully one day a colleague. They are an amazing broadcaster. They are a cultural bearer. They have pushed me and so many others to just think critically about the world around them and also dream of an even better future than we have right now. And so much more. So without further ado, I'm going to have this guest. Just let us know who they are. Guest, what is your name?
Hey, y'all. It's Yancy. I am here.
After 8 months, we've been in a drought. KFAI, give it up.
I'm here. It feels so wonderful, truly and deeply, to be back in the space that really got me started and kept me sustained for years in this craft that is radio. So thank you so much for having me. Hello, I Love You, Minneapolis. My name is Yancy. They, them, north side, south side, Minneapolis, born and raised, Black, queer, still here. That's who I am.
Yancy, so great to have you. What is, and we ask all of our guests this, by we, I mean me, myself and I, ask all of our guests this question because we are in fact on a radio show. What is your favorite childhood memory that has to do with the radio?
Oh, there's so many. I think
regardless of
mispronouncing things as a child, calling a bass a bass, and accidentally saying KDWB instead of KFAI, and like messing up. And then also, yeah, the study, the research, like the practice that I was like bred into, mm-hmm, with my grandfather, reading a jazz encyclopedia, looking up facts online, learning how to research and really sort of excavate things behind the music, and like, you know, resenting that actually for a long time, like not understanding the importance, not really I was a, you know, emo teen and didn't want to sacrifice my Saturday mornings for a long time. And then something shifted and it was just like, okay, wait, this is a practice. This is something that should be sustained and cherished and celebrated. And my family, my grandfather's doing me a favor here. I'm learning so much, like how to operate a radio board and how to curate and how to publicly speak. So, yeah, so like favorite memories, it just feels like pivotal memories, really. Prominent memories, impactful memories, because it was good. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a complex experience.
So skills that will stay with you for a lifetime. It's those moments that you know will stay with you, and you think in the moment, is this really necessary? Is this really enjoyable? I could be doing something else. I see all my friends doing things that seem more captivating, much more suited to like this childlike experience, this adolescent experience that we're having. But here we are.
Once
the popsicles melt and once the school days end, the radio waves are still, we're still on the radio,
absolutely,
y'all.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Like, truly. Thank you so much for sharing these memories with us. Wow, KDWB, wow. Okay, enough of them.
This is KFAI. This is KFAI.
90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org. We are non-commercial community radio. And what is your memory of how we first met? I love asking people that I interview one-on-one this question so that we can chuckle a little bit.
Wow, definitely Park Avenue Church.
On the corner of 34th Street and Park Avenue in the central neighborhood.
Literally. And I feel like, I don't know, like I think you were someone who was in close age proximity to me.
Yes.
And so I feel, but I also felt like maybe you were a little, like I feel like you had like swag. Like you were able to dress for church in a way that I wasn't. And so I feel like I was like, okay, some people are good at this, and I'm not good at this. And so it would be like, okay, I see you and I recognize your face every week, but like, I don't know if I should, like, I don't know if I'm comfortable or brave enough to like really initiate a friendship, you know, in a way.
Okay, it's so funny because I was like, I think Yahtzee's so cool. I want to initiate a friendship with Yahtzee.
Like, I also feel like I remember shopping around in Cornerstone. Like, seeing
yes.
also Ashe
yes.
and Awazi mm-hmm. and the fam. Like, you know, all the other youth, South Minneapolis yes. youths and Minneapolis youths that used to be out. So, definitely church. And I think it's interesting that almost everyone I know from that church specifically is now part of our queer black ecosystem. I think that is a beautiful thing. Absolutely.
I agree. You Park Avenue, wow, you've just given us so much to thank God and reflect on. Thanks for being a part of our journey. Thank you, Minneapolis, for being a part of our journey.
Thank you.
Alrighty, y'all.
Right. I love you, Minneapolis.
Forget what I said yesterday.
Please.
Y'all, when I
what
tell
I said.
You, this is what this phrase has been on my mind
Please
for the past couple of weeks.
What I said
Let's
yesterday.
Talk about it. Okay, y'all. So as I said a little bit earlier, we are discussing Juneteenth, the holiday. Wow. The commemoration. I think we should just take a moment to just honor our Black American ancestors that came before us.
Oh, shit.
The ones who learned in school, the ones whose names we will never know, the ones who worked the land that we stand on, the ones who were on the ships and didn't make it here. There's just so much to be said. But also not enough. So just wanted to take that time.
Thank you.
Yahtzee, the first question that I have for you as we start this very in-depth conversation is, describe your hometown, Minneapolis, for listeners who have never been to Minnesota or folks from greater Minnesota who don't spend a ton of time in the Twin Cities.
My hometown is, first and foremost, the north side, the lows of the north side of Minneapolis, predominantly Black American neighborhood for a long time. Now, different demographics. Near Theodore Worth Park, near the lake and the trail and the bike paths and also Plymouth Avenue, you know what I'm saying? Historic mm-hmm. Plymouth Avenue, historic Penn Avenue,
mm-hmm.
Olson Memorial Highway.
Mm-hmm.
All of these thoroughfares, specifically Plymouth and Olson, that historically, yes, were used to be sort of bustling thoroughfares and have more infrastructure. Yeah, describing them. Yeah, I just like residential, and also green. Like the access to nature is very there, and also can feel far away at the same time. So yeah, you know, it's, you know, so close to downtown, so close to Northeast, but these things have been made to feel psychologically farther, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Based on the infrastructure of the land. So it was like, yeah.
Thinking about
94,
if you've
right,
never been to Minnesota, if you've never been to the Twin Cities.
The main highway that's running through downtown that connects St. Paul across the river to the northern sort of suburbs and out.
There's only four exits on the north side. So then there's only four then major avenues.
Right.
That are going all through the north side to get through.
Like, right, the lights, the structure of it.
Yes.
So many accidents are happening at those intersections. Like, they have not been updated in a long time. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so it's very much, like, I think he has the typical characteristics of any disenfranchised neighborhood, primarily Black American neighborhood that you would see in a semi, like, large mid-city size place.
I agree.
Yeah,
and I would say there's more green space.
Oh, sure,
comparatively.
Sure.
I
think that's Minnesota, mm-hmm. definitely. That's definitely Minnesota. Absolutely.
I would say more parks than one would I would say more parks than to be expected, and I think honestly more flora. I think there's definitely more trees.
That's
especially
very
when
true.
You get
that's
off of Broadway.
That is true.
Yes.
Like, I feel like that's what I meant. It's like mm-hmm. the green space where yes. it's like when you roll down those streets, it's like you have the mm-hmm. canopy there. You know, it's very idyllic.
Yes.
The sunset. It's also like the west side of the city. So it's like you get the sunset. You get the reflection of the sunset on downtown. You know, if you stand at Bethune Park and look on
yes.
that hill. My grandfather loved to be on that hill and at that park. So, yeah, like, I think, you know, somatically, like, it feels lush.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also having lived there and having seen the phases and heard about the phases that it's been through in the past, like, it can be bittersweet, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
it's a bittersweet experience. But I think that's also just all of Minneapolis for me at this point.
Agreed.
It's all bittersweet because, yeah, my family has history over south as well. I just moved back over north from being over south for a minute. And it's like, yeah, it's just the vibe right now in particular, but a little bit in perpetuity.
I'm also going to quickly shout out North Mississippi Regional State Park. I love pulling up. What's that? Okay, so it's not. Okay, so I love driving down Washington Avenue, just like all the way down, and then pulling up right when you hit the river and just like hearing the water rush, especially at sunset, and just giving myself some time to think when you're just like posted up on that like concrete structure. Just another great park if you're looking for another park over there. Thank you so much, Yancey, for that beautiful description of the North Side. And what are your earliest memories of learning about and celebrating Juneteenth?
Well, speaking of the North Side and speaking of Juneteenth, there used to be annual Juneteenth festivals, like unofficial sort of block party style festivals that we would celebrate. So I kind of just remember going. It would be at Theodore Worth Park for a little bit. It was at Theodore Worth Park. And I just remember it being like this busing festival, you know, getting funnel cakes, taking canoe rides on the lake. I was a part of Voice of Culture, my mom's West African and Black American fusion company. And I remember performing at the festivals. And like that was such a moment in time. I think there's still videos out there actually on YouTube of that. But yeah, so I just remember it being you know, just as just sort of fuzzy, fuzzy, nice, like very fuzzy, warm memories of like, oh, this festival that happens in the summertime, you know, because like, I don't know. I think obviously a lot of festivals happen in the summertime here in Minneapolis now that I'm thinking about it. But I'm like, I just think as a young person, it was like, there's never a festival over north. Like, there's never this many people outside congregating over north. Like, and we never have the street shut down like this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it felt very special. And I think it was like Juneteenth festival before I knew what exactly Juneteenth was. It's like, oh, it's Juneteenth. This is a time where black people vibe out. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So I, yeah, that's my first, that's my first, my earliest memories.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Of learning about Juneteenth. And it was in a cultural sort of socio-cultural context. Less than a, or more so than a historical, like learning the actual facts behind it.
But I mean, I think, but that's how it starts for all of us, right? And I think that that's how it's made so much more real. Like before you like are instructed, before it becomes rote memorization, before it becomes like, here's a timeline, here's this, here's that. It's how, like, how does your connection to culture, to place make you feel? Like, how do you know you are grounded, you're rooted in space? And I think these somatic moments really matter. It's been really fascinating as I've been, of course, bringing like countless like people in my community and mostly thankfully black people onto this radio show. It's been interesting to talk to folks who grew up on the north side, namely my friend Maisha, and she also mentioned Theodore Worth Park as a space for Juneteenth festivals. Now the Juneteenth celebrations were much bigger back in the day, and I think I was also on I think it was Threads, and somebody mentioned the same thing. They were like, the Juneteenth festivals over north used to be so big, and we used to do it up huge.
Because it used to be, I think, centralized also. Like, there's a lot of different, like smaller festivals that happen sort of spotty around. But, I feel like it was just this one centralized sort of thing that was cool.
Yeah. Oh, Yancy. Wow. Really taking us back. As many of you may know, but of course we should take some time to review. Juneteenth commemorates the end of chattel slavery in land occupied by the United States. It marks the day, June 19th, 1865, when Major General Gordon Granger arrived in Galveston, Texas, to inform enslaved people that they were free. Exactly 2 years, 6 months, and 18 days after President Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, which was an executive order that was supposed to have freed enslaved people upon being proclaimed. The holiday was first celebrated in Texas, and then it spread during the Great Migration. Specifically, and I think most impactfully, one could say, in the 1920s and 1930s. With that in mind, Yancy, your family has preserved its history and memory through the visual arts, the fine arts, literature, and storytelling. Your family's history is also woven into the history of Minneapolis in myriad ways, including mostly jazz on KFAI every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And members of your family, many generations earlier, also participate in the Great Migration. So with all of that being said, how have you kept your family's history and memory alive as you've celebrated Juneteenth over the course of your lifetime?
Just going to sit with that for one moment.
Of course.
Because that is...
It's a heated question.
Super dense. I think that, again, the knowing the context, knowing the reality that, you know, in 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation was decreed, and like, it doesn't mean anything unless it is enacted. How we know now, you know, what our systems of power, what our institutions, our governance says, is only in effect unless it is enforced, unless it's acted upon, you know? So, like, knowing that history, knowing the context, I think the first thing, the way that I have maybe honored my family's legacy as artists and also as educators, right, and you know, community figures, is like to be a person that can share that story and actually say what it is and acknowledge it. You know, it's a federal holiday now, and it used to be these informal cultural celebrations, but it's like there's been efforts to literally erase the history behind it. So it's like, how could this be made a federal holiday in 2021? And yeah, 5 years later, it's still a holiday, but oh, they're removing information off of our databases. They're removing information off of park sites and different commemorative plaques. And you know what I'm saying? Like they're literally it's like, so it's like as a, again, storyteller or a historian per se, or a community figure, like I think I have a duty to let people know the history of the day that they get off, that they get a paid holiday. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, and especially for non-Black people, exactly. It's like to be handed this sort of thing as like, you know, oh, you know, everyone gets to celebrate Juneteenth, actually. Like, it's not, it's something that is very specific to Black Americans. And so it's also like to make people aware of the ways that they can observe and commemorate Juneteenth and not just hit the beach. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I don't know. Like, I
not
think
just
that
kick back and relax, take a long weekend vacation.
Like, and I think that, again, events like Soul of the South Side, it's like, it's a beautiful way for people to come together. And it's like, you can come support, spend money on the vendors, spend money on the community orgs, break some bread with people, like connect with people. But you know what I'm saying? So like, I just want people to, I think that's the way that I can maybe kept my family's history alive and honor their work and legacy, is to like, again, just be a person who can speak to that truth. And whether it be through, yes, I'm here on a radio show breaking it down, or making a piece of art about it, or, you know, creating a set about it, or writing a piece about it. It's like, that's a way that I want to continue doing that. And I think that I, you know, as burdened as it may sound, like I do feel like I owe it to them, and I do feel like I owe it to the community, because yeah, I wouldn't be who I am without them. So let's all be FFR together. How about that?
What a
am I allowed to say that? Like,
what a great way
FFR.
To circumvent F.
Let's just be FFR.
Wait, federal. What a great way to circumvent FCC regulations. That was clever. I'm going to use that.
Yeah, there you go.
But you're right. We exist and we are because our community also is.
Boom.
Boom.
Cue the music, honestly.
Exactly.
Drop the track.
Yes. Y'all, we are going to be right back. These have been heady questions. You're listening to I Love You Minneapolis. Forget what I said yesterday. We're going to listen to a song called Optimistic by The Sounds of Blackness, Grammy Award-winning group right out of Minneapolis. Absolutely amazing people.
MSP, let's go.
That we are blessed. Absolutely amazing singers and musicians we are blessed to hear from. And we'll be back with more. Stay tuned.
The Blackness. Keep on.
Sons of Blackness is going to continue to hold us and carry us in the background as we continue this glorious, glorious conversation. I'm back again. We are back with our guest, Yancey Jameson. This is
What Up?
I Love You, Minneapolis. Forget What I Said Yesterday. Again, I Love You, Minneapolis. Forget What I Said Yesterday. And I am your host, Musana's Musings. It's always great to be here with you. It's always great to be here with you every Sunday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Yancey. As we were talking about before our quick break to introduce Sounds of Blackness, Juneteenth became a federal holiday on Thursday, June 17th, 2021, and was signed into law as a state holiday in Minnesota on Friday, February 3rd, 2023. How does the Black community, and specifically Black Americans, benefit from Juneteenth receiving this recognition? And on the flip side, how has this recognition made it harder to honor the integrity of the holiday?
Deep, deep questions. I think
deep questions for deep
that,
souls.
Ooh, how does the Black community benefit from Juneteenth receiving this recognition?
This show is always open to hot takes.
I
love a hot take.
I will say, I'm trying not to be super cynical, so I believe
our listeners can handle a hot take.
I will say that how it has benefit the Black community is hopefully more people have, like, reckoned with the history and been able to transmute that into, like, reparations or some other ally vibe, you know? You know, or have been able to transmute that into action in some way as a non-Black person. Hopefully. I think that...
Fingers crossed.
Other than that, again, this is something that Black people have celebrated already informally for years, for decades.
Like, centuries,
this is
honestly.
Something that no one knew about. And again, the general public is not... Again, if you're not... I just want to bring it back to the context a little bit. Like I just feel like, think about 1865. It's like, unless you are Black, unless you are an enslaved Black person, you have no reason to, you know, unless you're enlisted in the Union, unless you're very much mm-hmm. an abolitionist, what reason would you have to care about this? In fact, you would be fearful of this happening if your livelihood depended on slave labor, and then some soldiers roll into your town and say, hey, so everybody has to leave.
Right.
Or everybody is free to go. You are free to, you know what I'm saying?
Fearful or furious.
So that's
either
what I'm
or.
Saying. I just think about that experience of, like, what it would be like to hear news of your freedom in this way, and then the negotiations and the bargaining that would happen afterwards, because that's mm-hmm. also what happened. I believe that slave masters were then be like, oh, well, we'll pay you, you know, whatever tiny amount to continue to use your labor and all, you know, so I'm
right,
just like,
sharecropping.
So I just think that it's like, at this question, it's like, this was already a culturally niche celebration, specifically for Black American people, and even more specifically for Black Texans. Let's be so real. Like, mm-hmm. I think that Black Texans have a very unique relationship, a very deep, intimate relationship with this holiday. Like, there's always been parades, there's always been regalia and all this culture there, because that's immediately where this holiday was born from. Mm-hmm. So, again, federal recognition only does so much, only goes so much to alert other people that were not already in observance of this. So I do think that it's done not necessarily enough. It's very much a I don't even know, I can't think of the word right now, but it's like very much sort of a like gold star sticker. You know what I'm saying?
The first word that comes to mind, like, is perfunctory, but I know that that's not quite, it doesn't quite get to it.
It's like, yeah, it's just a very like, here's another holiday that we can add to the calendar so that corporate America can have a day off, like another right. day off in the summertime. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
I think the like,
it's inadequate,
the
for sure.
function of a federal holiday it's like it just calls into question like the function of a federal holiday and like who is this for? You know, it's like this isn't religious. This is a culture. What other cultural holidays sort of exist? I mean, I suppose I could have prepared to answer this question myself, but it's like most of our holidays are religious based. Most of our holidays are right. We don't, you know, and then July 4th. And then, oh, the Black July 4th. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we don't, that's, right. But it's your fault, though, that we were even in this predicament. Correct. Why are y'all celebrating? Certain people are celebrating and awarding themselves a holiday off. And it's like, if we go back far enough, who was perpetrating slavery to begin with?
Right.
And why should you now get a holiday for that off? Again, so it's, there's not a lot of benefit here. And I do think that that answered the question of, like, how has the recognition made it harder to honor the integrity of the holiday because it's become diluted and maybe placated and sort of diffused in this way that it's like, oh, yeah, like, happy Juneteenth. And it's like, is it happy, though? Because this is celebrating the fact that 2 years after the right. Emancipation Proclamation is when... And, you know, you have to understand, it wasn't even, it's not that, it's not, it's, it couldn't be the end of chattel slavery. Like, it's, there's still, how many conduits does that message even have to get to reach all the people?
Right.
They said that it was like 250,000 enslaved people in that area. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like a city. That's half the population of Minneapolis.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I feel like I'm not really... wrapping these my statements up in a way, but I think it's, you can hear the like how it's very contested, I think, within me in general, but also I think that most Black American people would potentially agree. And again, our lowest wage workers are not getting this day off. Our lowest wage workers are not getting this day off, and many of our lowest wage workers happen to be Black American people and people of African descent. So it's just like, It also begs the question of, again, if the people that this holiday is meant for are not able to celebrate, because, again, the holiday is being put in this system that is not, it's not reparative. It is not redeemable. It's, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. There's so many other policies that you can put in place that will make right. people's quality of life better, particularly Black people, that you don't want to do. But yes, we can get Juneteenth off. That's the final sentiment. It's like, it's a Pyrrhic.
I would say it's a Pyrrhic victory.
It's a paradox.
And I would say it's a Pyrrhic victory. And I don't want to discredit or disparage any of our ancestors that have fought for this day to be a holiday. I want to be very clear that, like, that's not a slight to our ancestors that fought to make this holiday
absolutely.
Exist.
Absolutely.
Shout out to Opal Lee.
Shout out to Opal Lee.
To be clear, it's not a slight to them. It's a continuing critique of our nation state as a whole. It's a continuing critique of the United States.
Absolutely.
Okay. So since... It took us quite a while to get our ducks in a row on that one. We're going to take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors because they help us keep the lights on.
Programming on KFAI is supported in part by the Bush Foundation, investing in great ideas and the people who power them. Introducing the 2026 Bush Fellows, leaders working to make the region better for everyone. More information is online at bushfoundation.org.
And we're back. Yancey, thank you so much for being here with us this evening. It's just so great to be able to, I think, hold this conversation so close with you. And I feel like it's always just so great to hear your voice when I'm on the phone with you, when I'm in person with you. So it's just so nice. It's so intimate in this way. I feel like I'm word vomiting
right now. And I feel like if I cannot further articulate and say that, again, if I don't have a problem, if people want to observe and commemorate this holiday, particularly however Black people want to do that, is fine.
Mm-hmm.
How non-Black people can engage, again, with this holiday, I do want to be constructive and generative, is to learn the history and engage in reparative activities such as, yes, investing in Black community, in Black business, also making a commitment to embodying pro-blackness in your life, you know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. like to carry that with you and to integrate those things into, you know,
right,
other facets of your life, not just on this day, but also advocating for people in your life, at your workplace, in other areas around the world. You know what I'm saying? Like creating a praxis of pro-blackness and shedding the anti-blackness in your life is going to be more of a, it's going to be a more productive way to commemorate and observe not just this holiday, but again, the duty that we should all, that we're all tasked with in this moment is, again, overcoming what we've learned and trying to correct that. So
I think that's a lovely summary. And I think there are going to be more reminders throughout the entire, throughout our entire podcast of what it is that our white counterparts can do and our non-black and non-white counterparts can do as well. So with that in mind, we have a question about discourse in a different
yes,
way.
Yes, I see this.
Yes.
How am I navigating intra-racial discourse?
Yes, around who
yes,
can participate.
Yes, I love this question.
In Juneteenth celebrations.
So you want to read the facts off?
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so in Minnesota, for our listeners who are, again, across the world, across the nation, we have a small black population in Minnesota, not the smallest around the nation, but it's small, 500,000 people. So again, that's about the size of, that's like 50,000 more people than the size of Minneapolis, and that's about 9%. So white people as a whole make up 80%, and people who are non-white and non-black make up 11% of the population. And then we have the largest, in addition to that, people of the black diaspora who are not black Americans, whose descendants were not enslaved on this land, we have the largest population of Liberian people outside of the continent of Africa, outside of the country of Liberia specifically. And we also have...
I didn't know that.
Yes, we do.
For Somali and Liberian?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And we also have either the second largest or largest population of Somali people outside of the continent of Africa, and specifically the country of Somalia. So with that in mind, we have a diverse
black community.
Yes, black community population. In Minnesota, even though our black population is small compared to the population of the state of Minnesota, which is about 5.5 million people. So with that in mind, how are we navigating that intra-racial discourse?
Yes.
And like, to what extent, it's like, who can participate? To what extent can people participate? And then what participation goes too far or is an overreach?
Yes, I love this question.
I'm so glad,
and
I want to
contextualize by saying that I have a unique relationship with I guess folks from the continent of Africa, being that my brother is Gambian, half Gambian, half Black
Shout
American.
Out to Gambia.
As many may know, my mother has a deep connection with West Africa, has spent much time under the guidance of West African artists and folks, and so has been a steward of that knowledge and the intersection and the history and the lineage and bringing from Africa back to America and also synthesizing with Black American swag. So growing up, like, I was always like, okay, yes, Africans are a part of our community. Here in Minneapolis, in particular, in so many different ways, they're a part of my family. Like, I'm like, yeah, this is what it is. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that there was, like, for a long time, I don't think I was aware that there was sort of tension between those communities, really, until my late teens and 20s. And I had always had friends, East African friends, West African friends, like. So then it was like, okay, now I'm realizing that there's this tension here, and I've always had a love and appreciation for traditional African culture and, yes, contemporary African culture. So I'm very confused. I was always very confused. I started getting confused because I was like, dang, where is this hate coming from? Y'all, like, again, especially as Black Americans, we aren't able to trace back directly, you know, but can we not connect with our roots in these ways,
right,
in the same ways? And so, I'm coming from a place of, like, there was never a diaspora war for me. So When it comes to Juneteenth, I think this is a great opportunity for us to celebrate our nuance, celebrate our difference. All the African countries celebrate Independence Days. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Juneteenth is a Black American Independence Day celebration. So what I really wish is that, yes, please enjoy Juneteenth and please vibe out and also recognize that I, as a Black American person, I'm not going to be the main one doing Gambian Independence Senegalese. I'm not going to accept maybe a booking that's like, hey, it's Senegalese Independence Day. We need a DJ. You know what I'm saying? Like certain things where it's like, okay, I would like to, I feel like culturally you acknowledge what is familiar to you. And I think as Black people of the global diaspora, like we should absolutely be celebrating our liberation. Wherever liberation for Black people across the globe is taking place, we need to be celebrating that. And I wish that I knew more about African Independence Days. I wish, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to, I want there to be that same reverence from the Black American community for these other Independence Days because this is our global connection. You know what I'm saying? So I'm all for cross-cultural per se, but also I'm all for this celebration. And I mean, and I guess I will say, like, there is nuance to be said about how American culture is Black culture in many ways. And so when folks are emigrating to America and you're adopting American culture, yes, you're going to adopt Black culture. That's 100%. What's up. And you are a Black person. You know what I'm saying? So also the understanding that, yeah, if like this is a part of Black culture and also recognizing that, I guess it's nuance within yourself to know that it's like, you know, this might not be my independence to celebrate, but I'm still going to celebrate because we are the global diaspora. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's my take. And I feel like, again, I don't believe that to be a hot take or a controversial take. I think that's just the take because it's like, what do we stand to gain from beefing with each other about who can celebrate what? It's like, we do want to be free. You know what I'm saying? I want to be free. I do. Free of all the free of all of it, you know? So yeah, that's what I'll say.
Just as a reminder for our listeners and just to reiterate, this show is broadcasted, thought of, created from the Black queer and first Black queer non-binary and first generation Ugandan American lens. So with that in mind, I would say that I'm approaching, like, as I was thinking about both Juneteenth broadcasts that I brought to you, as I thought about the guests that I was bringing on, I thought about these conversations, I was thinking about my own upbringing, what it meant to be, like what it meant to grow up in predominantly white spaces, being one of few Black people, but also few second gen people from the continent, specifically East Africa. And then like what it meant to then like to see the intra-racial conflict, but also to see the interracial conflict, but also like it was like I'm seeing it as a child. I'm reading it in print media. I'm seeing it on the television. But then as I'm growing and as things are changing, like, but then in different spaces, it's shifting. Like, did I see it as much at park? Not necessarily. Did I see it maybe at like a certain summer camp? Maybe. But did, like, it, I feel like it shifted and grew. And I think one thing that I've realized specifically, I guess like with this discourse and others, is that I think it's one thing with this discourse to show up online in, like, yeah, within our like clearly defined fascist political, economic, and social experience, where we have, where so much of the internet is bots, where we have the dead internet theory going on, where like there's just not much of the internet left for human beings to genuinely engage in for real, that isn't a money grab, or that isn't just a specific cash grab or data grab. And I think it's one thing to know that that's the case. It's one thing to know that we have multiple government agencies, the CIA namely, right, spreading their own propaganda through the internet. Like, there's one thing, and I think it's another thing to have this discourse in person when people genuinely have agency and are moving differently when they're face to face with another person. And I think I feel like more than 50% of cases, people aren't choosing like the most violent or harmful option. Like, I think in the grand scheme of things, I don't think the answer is, oh, like, there's a Juneteenth opportunity. Like, Ash, let me take it.
Sure, sure.
No, you know
sure.
what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I do think that there are crises, and clearly this discourse exists.
And I feel and like I maybe also that's think, even regional. Because, yes. again, that's a regional thing, I think, here in Minnesota yeah. and the Midwest because of the way that the population is broken down. Because it already feels like it can be scarce for... Yes. you know, maybe certain opportunities mm-hmm. or for people to maybe potentially yes. see the benefit of Juneteenth being a federal holiday. Mm-hmm. And I think that we can't allow for non-black people to, like, I think it's gonna have to be up to us, you know, yeah. if we're approached with certain things to have that nuance. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if somebody is, you know, and I think, again, like I said, Soul of the South that I think is such a lovely yes. thing because it's like multicultural mm-hmm. in that way, but also feels very rooted yes. in celebrating Juneteenth and getting people to understand the mm-hmm. history of that. And so I think, again, I'm thinking about these maybe surface level events or surface level corporate maybe observations or certain things where it's like, we just need a black person to do something.
But I think that's
right.
That does exist, and I think we are calling out in real time, and I think it's also good to know that, like, it's good to know that people are actively fighting against this on a daily basis. That more often than not, like, it's not everywhere, and like yeah. other people are noticing, like, no, we actually do know better.
Yeah, and
we actually can center black
people. It hasn't
American
always
people.
Been that way though, mm-hmm. and I think maybe I'm speaking from my experience.
Okay, there we go. Yep.
Of experiencing where it was like, oh, everybody, like, we're all throwing Juneteenth parties, and it's like, okay, and doesn't necessarily feel like it's centering the Black American mm-hmm. experience, and it's not engaging Black American people. You know what I'm saying? And, like, again, to be fair, I encourage you to celebrate Juneteenth, but it becomes something interesting right. when it's like, oh, we're gonna now, like, make money, you know, we're now right. money's involved, or now, like, this is what's being communicated. Like, certain ideas are being communicated. Right. You know, I think, again, speaking about the duty of making people understand the history of this, like, why are you celebrating? If you don't know, if you just want to throw a party, it's like, yeah, cool. And also, like, where is your Black American homie to be like, hey, this is how I celebrate.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what this actually means. So, again, I think it's more so just wanting people to understand the context behind mm-hmm. what they're doing. And that's for everyone who may or may not have already known, you know?
Yes.
And so that's what's at the root of that, I feel like.
I think it's good that we fleshed this out.
Yeah.
In a specific way. I think it's helpful. It's been helpful on each broadcast to break down discourse, because I think when that word is said out, people are like, oh, is it mostly just happening online? And are people just bitter because people are just keyboard warriors and they're not having face-to-face concepts? And I'm like, no,
you
like,
know, and
people are actively in conflict.
I can break it down. I mean, I think, again, coming from an experience of Voice of Culture as this West African drum and dance company rooted in Black American styles, mm-hmm. and then experiencing, like, I guess I will say, you know, now I'm, like, sort of reflecting. It's, like, experiencing yeah. the fact that it's, like, yeah, we are doing this traditional West African mm-hmm. practice, infusing our own vibe into it, and then it's, like, people may or may not feel a type of way about that. And right. also, there are fully white people that have entire, are in an African dance company. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
there's fully, so it's like, for us to, again, be descendants of African people and wanting to yeah. reclaim that and wanting to acknowledge that, it's like, that's a thing. And it was something that, you know, again, my mom studied and went to, you know, and mm-hmm. it's like, you can say the same thing about the non-Black people who did the same thing, but ultimately it's going to mean something different, I think, coming from a Black American person who's like, these are my roots, you know, this is the roots of our music as well, this is the roots of our art, you know, so it's just mm-hmm. like, I think it's more of, again, an homage. It's like paying homage, paying respects, honoring, observing, commemorating, celebrating, yes, if it feels like a meaningful celebration, you know what I'm saying? And, like, yeah, what are you celebrating when you are celebrating Juneteenth? That's a question that everybody can ask themselves.
I mean, I guess going back to the question about whether or not it becoming a federal holiday does wonders for it. It's so, I mean, it's chaotic that, I mean, federal holidays, like anything else within ASEAN culture, have become a part of the capitalist cycle of, oh, there's a sale. Oh, there's
right.
a party.
Like, it's
oh,
like selling products right. that say Happy Juneteenth, and it's like, again, that's I'm not, shaking my head right. because I'm like, who
But then it's like, oh, this is one day that people have off. Like, oh, now, like, we, one day only concepts, like, look at this right. one day experience at the right. water park.
Right.
One, like,
right.
you'll never have rest again. And it's like, well, crap. Like, when you put it that way, now what are we
yeah.
going to do?
Yeah,
it's unfortunate.
Exactly.
As a person who has strong familial and residential ties to both North and South Minneapolis, how has your understanding of and celebration of Juneteenth been impacted by the cultural bearers and cultural institutions within each part of the city? And do you find yourself spending more time at certain events or certain parts of the city than others? If so, why?
Again, I think that the Juneteenth celebration of my youth was Northside based because that is where the majority of Black American people live in mm-hmm. Minneapolis. That being said, there's, of course, Black community on Southside. So it's like, I love that it's so, like, I just think Soul of the Southside is such an interesting sort of manifestation because it's like, yeah, it's shifted. It's kind of like a, you know, and I think mm-hmm. I want to bring up, you know, Flo Northside Arts Crawl that was running for, I don't know how many years, but it was at least for my lifetime running, not open streets, not, you know, city sanctioned, but also just community-based where we would shut down West Broadway Avenue and have vendors and have art and have events
yes.
down the Ave. Also a Northside celebration. So I think, like, celebrating Juneteenth, it has always been localized, intimate, unofficial. And then in the past few years, because it's been this thing, it's like, okay, yeah, like, I'm going to go to Soul of the South Side. I'm going to maybe stop by some other events. But ultimately, I feel more liberated to actually just take the day for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, like, I feel like it's a day to exercise my sovereignty and autonomy and just do what I want to do, which usually is, like, relax. Like, I also feel like I don't want the pressure to feel like, oh, well, because it's a holiday, like, I need to also do something. Like, yes, I do want to share the history. I want to share the knowledge. And I also want to maybe do what my ancestors wanted to do, which was sit the down. Like,
you know
what I'm saying? It almost brings
yes.
tears to my eyes. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
I mean, because ideally, that is the point of any one of these. That is the point.
Right? Like, I don't know. I think in growing up, having done so many events, mm-hmm. you know, like, been the person that people
yes.
call, the Black American people that people call when they want to commemorate Juneteenth. It does.
The point person.
It does, like.
The performer, the DJ, the order.
Yes. It's a labor of love. And it's like, at a certain point, I'm like, okay, so this holiday should be about me doing what I want to do.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, this year I do have to work. I do. And it's dry. It's a tense point. It's a friction point for me. I'm not sure if I can even get into it fully, but I just think that
in the interest,
this is the first time that I've had to, like, quote unquote, work on. And I will say, I think I can say I'm getting paid time and a half, though. You know, at least.
Right.
It's not for nothing.
We love our public service employment. But also,
like, yeah, you know. And I'm going
Rest
to be
priceless.
Spreading the Juneteenth Jubilee gospel
right.
wherever I end up. You know what I'm saying? When in my work, because that's also part of my work, is to steward that knowledge. So
knowledge is power.
They gonna wish I took the day off because I'm just saying, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, the people need to know, but also,
listen.
I mean, ultimately, if this nation state could let us rest, I think we would all be in a much better place.
Absolutely. Okay, sorry. I know you said in the interest of time,
we cannot have you dig fully into why you're working on Juneteenth. But perhaps at another interview in another day. I would love to have you back. There's so many things that we should circle back to. And we're back. You are listening to KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio. I am Wasana's Musings. I'm here with my dear comrade, Yancey Jameson. And
Hello.
We are broadcasting. I love you, Minneapolis. Forget what I said yesterday. Again, I love you, Minneapolis. Forget what I said yesterday. Yancy, our time has nearly come to an end. And again, we'll just have to have you back on because there's just so much. There's just so much more that we could get into. These questions were so heady.
Jupiter's about to go in Leo.
We need to have, there has to be a couple of interviews in astrology. We need to get the round table together. More on that later. But with the knowledge that we have of Juneteenth, with the tensions that exist about this holiday, knowing that education still needs to happen, knowing that you and your family have held so much, but have also shared so much of yourselves, what are your hopes and dreams for future Juneteenth celebrations in the Twin Cities and the state of Minnesota?
You know, if I can just be so candid, like, yeah, I do
as candid as you'd like
wish
to be
that I had
FCC
the
guidelines.
Energy and capacity to just throw a function that was has a moment to honor the history, to acknowledge that, for, you know, ways for people to tap into that. And then, yeah, let's get down. Let's get lit. Let's turn up and feel free. You know, let's try to embody what that can look like in a way that's somatic, because that's where the trauma is stored. Let's free that up. Let's move around. Let's feel the ground. Let's hear the sound. You know what I'm saying? That's mm-hmm. that's genuinely how I feel. That's just for me. I think for the city, you know, yes, events like Soul of the Southside are beautiful. I think, yeah, a massive campaign to actually support Black businesses, Black individuals, Black entities, Black people, not just today, you know, yeah, it's like my hopes for Juneteenth, that there's a massive flowing of resources and reparative, you know, activity flowing towards Black American people and towards Black people.
In general,
that as well.
May
beyond
be
this
so.
Day. It's so, 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 so overdue. It was overdue in 1865 and the 400 years before that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just that.
Thank you.
Reparations.
Reparations. Reparations. Reparations. Reparations. Reparations. Reparations. We really cannot say that enough. To our listeners, thank you again for being here with us. Yancy Jameson, thank you so much for coming back to your humble stomping grounds, KFAI.
Shout out to KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Again, Juneteenth was this past Friday, but every single day is a day to support the Black community.
Support the system. Let's talk about that.
Subvert the system. And support the Black community in your city, in your township,
Ashe.
In your state, nationwide.
Ashe.
Things are only getting harder at this point. And you support with your dollars, you support with your time, you support with your knowledge, you support with your capacity. Even if you don't know where to start, you have a skill, you have a passion, you have your senses. That's enough of a place to start. And to my Black siblings, again, nationwide, locally, and globally, I'm wishing you peace, I'm wishing you ease, wishing you protection, wishing you love. This has been...